righteousness. How sanctified we are because of the Lamb. Whew. I mean, just that little word single did that to me.
Yeah, in my notes, it's funny you said that, because I asked a question I was going to ask everybody is, who does that not include? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. Who doesn't it include? The writer, John, specifically gave, you can't deny that it's everyone. Mm-hmm. Anyway, just to read it, we'll take verse 6 first, just to read it in King James real quick. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, mm-hmm. as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. I don't want to focus on the horns and the eyes, but I mean, I will just say this, the horns speak of power and majesty. The horn is some people may get confused, think of a horns on an animal, but I think it's more like a trumpet where they're sounding the alarm and trying to awaken people with that trumpet. But anyway, in the eyes, what else do I write here? It says, the eyes remind us that Christ has sent his Holy Spirit into the world with all of his omniscience, perfect understanding, and wonderful discernment. And the fact that there are seven horns and eyes and seven spirits expresses numerically the idea of fullness and perfection. But let's just get to the root of this thing. The book of Revelation is all about the Lamb. Mm-hmm. All that's important, nice, whatever, but 100% of the focus has to be on the Lamb, because that's what it's all about. There would be no book of Revelation without the Lamb. And we're going to talk about the Lamb here. The word Lamb occurs 105 times, but 29 times in Revelation. It's the Greek number 721, and in all 29 times, the definition is like the gentleman with the mirror Bible is a little lamb, a lambkin. Christ innocently suffering and dying to expiate, which is the atoning for sin, the act of delivering from sin or saving the sins of men. And the root word of it is a male lamb. And I wanted to hear Oscar's take on this, because I know he studied into this quite a bit. So can you kind of shed some more light on that, Pastor?
Okay. Well, the meaning of that word lamb, if you look at it, is lambkin. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at that originally, I felt like the Lord was saying, you have to realize that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And when John had his first revelation in the beginning of the chapter of Revelations, you know, he saw what I saw. I think what he saw was not Jesus in the sense that he knew Jesus, but he saw the fullness of the body of Christ standing up as a mature man. Because when he spoke, his voice was as the voice of many waters. And in Daniel, he had almost the same revelation. What he heard was the voice of a great multitude. And I like that it says lamb kin. I believe that he's talking about the lamb and his kin. Scripture says, we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, basically. So I believe that partially what we're seeing here is the fullness of the Lamb, kin, and his kin, you know, because
his family.
We are crucified with Christ. If we're crucified with Christ, so we're part of that Lamb slain, you know. And you know, we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, you know. And so you know, that's sort of my take on it a little bit, but you know, I know that's a little bit different than what the brother said there, but I feel like that when you look at the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's the revelation of the fullness of all that he is. And we're part of the body of Christ. We're as much a part of that body as his one singular body was, see? And that's why I kind of feel like it's even a little broader than what he said in his interpretation of it. But I mean, you know, if you see that, fine. If you don't, that's okay too. But I feel like that's what the Lord kind of showed me, is that anytime that you see the Lamb there, he's, you know, creation's groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, for our true identity to come forth, our true authority in Christ, that we're all speaking the same thing, and all when we speak, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, where it becomes him, you know, and we speak with one voice. That's why it was a great multitude, you know, why it was the voice of many waters, for out of our innermost being are going to flow rivers of living water. So that's kind of my take on it. I mean, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. The scripture says, as the body is many members, so is Christ.
That's right.
Christ. It's many membered body.
When I was looking up that word lamb and got to the root where it said male lamb, it took me ahead to Revelation 12:5 to a scripture that basically it was interesting because it says, and she brought forth a man child, and it's the same word as the root of lambkin, lamb, and which is a male lamb, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And we all know that it's referring to Jesus, but I just felt that the Lord was also saying it's related to us.
Yeah.
In Revelation 5:10, just a few scriptures, it says, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So I just thought that was interesting that the root of the lamb was a male lamb, and it's the exact same word as that's used in this man child.
Mm-hmm. And you know, in addressing that a little bit, scripture says that in Christ there's neither male nor female. So really, even when you talk about a male being caught up to the throne, that's literally where we are, we have to come to the realization that we're already seated together with him in heavenly places. And, you know, as he is in this world, so are we, you know. And, you know, so many times we tend to want to push things off into the future, and it's not really in the future, it's now, if we'll come to the true revelation of what he is and what we are in him, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's what walking in the day of the Lord is all about, Oscar.
Yeah,
is the day of the Lord is really walking in the light, the illumination,
right,
of who we are in Him, and so on and so forth. And I was with Kathy when she was talking about every single one realized how sanctified they were. When she read that every single one, I thought everyone that was single with Him, uh-huh, you know, had a single mind with Him, that was at oneness with Him. They realized then how sanctified they were because of the Lamb.
Right.
Yeah. So we're all one in Him.
Right. Well, and when He said, I'll not give my glory to another, you're not another. You're Him. You're part of Him. Right. You know, you're part of the body of Christ, you know.
Okay. Let's, he took the book out and sat upon the throne. Let's skip to verse 8. It says that, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So it says in Revelation 8 down the road, it says that the smoke of the incense, same word as odors, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So it's pretty clear what the odors or incense is. And, you know, that this is just another example of if you don't know the Old Testament, you know, how are you going to understand, you know, what's going on in Revelation? Because there's so many types and shadows back into what went on in the temple and the, you know, the three different compartments of the temple. I mean, so, and then also this, this word, I want to read this in Luke 1:9. It says, according to the custom of the priest's office, again, going back to the Old Testament, his lot was to burn incense, exact same word, when he went into the temple of the Lord. Then the other thing is harps. You know, a harp is an instrument which praises of God are sung in heaven, is the definition from Strong's. But I was reminded of in 1 Samuel 16:23, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, we all know that there is nothing special about David's harp, okay? Was the spirit, the anointing behind the harp, because the anointing breaks the yokes off of people. So when David would play that harp, that spirit of God would just, you know, fill up the room, and Saul would be refreshed, and Saul would, you know, that was the time when he was well, because he was sensing the presence of the Lord in that time. Okay, so before we get to nine, anybody else have anything about what we just talked about in Revelation 8? Again, we talked about the beasts, so I didn't want to get into that. We the 24 elders, spirits, the seven spirits of the Lord we talked about. So I was just trying to move along so that we can, you know, get going on this. But if you do have anything that you want to bring out of eight, please do so.
I do.
Okay.
Okay, so I just want you to just reemphasize, Rich, this, because of the Old Testament is basically stating, and I keep thinking about the times. Of course, thank you, Oscar, for explaining, but I'm thinking I'm getting a little confused when it says something about these incense. It's back in the day when, before the Lamb of Christ came to take away our sins, in the Old Testament, he's talking about he has to have these incense, and he has to obviously... in the holies of holies, that's kind of like another type and shadows of the same thing you were just talking about. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The
beautiful. Just making sure I understand.
When he would go into the Holy of Holies, he would take the blood.
Right. Okay.
And
okay.
He would take that blood and he'd sprinkle it on the mercy seat. Right.
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. So when we're saying the Lamb, okay, so when the elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden boughs full of incense. These incense, again, what were you saying, odors? Mine says incense.
Yeah, are the prayers of the saints.
Okay, and they're basically reiterating the Old Testament again to say that the Lamb of God now is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Not the Old Testament's of bloodshed to cleanse people's sins anymore.
Yeah, the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. So what this is John is going back to the Old Testament, because that's okay. What he knew. He was a Jew, and that's what he knew. You know, when you thought of God, you thought of the temple of God. You thought of, you know, all the things that are contained in the Old Testament. So that's his point of reference. And so when you look at Revelation, he's always pointing back to that reference point in order to bring out the truth in the spirit.
Okay. Good. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Thank you.
Can I say something? The prayer and the praise of the saints is that incense, you know. And that's like when Rich kids Julie about her singing to God, that is so beautiful and so fragrant when Julie sings to him, because he just loves that, because that he inhabits the praises of his saints. And that was one of the only other things that in the Old Testament that the high priest took in. And if you ever saw the altar of incense, the picture they have of it, it's not a little bowl or anything like that. It's sort of like on a pedestal. And, you know, if he had the blood sacrifice and everything that he was taking in there, I heard a preacher say one time, how did he take the altar of incense in there? And then he explained it by saying that he tied it to his leg and he walked it into there. You know, mm-hmm. he drug it into there.
Mm-hmm.
And that talks about the need for us to walk out the prayer and praise of God.
Mm-hmm.
And as we walk out the prayer and praise of God, we come into that Shekinah glory presence of God. And it's available to us all the time. And, all those types of shadows back there, they're explainable when you understand what's we're to do today. You know, we're to take that altar of incense in with us anytime mm-hmm. we go to the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's our prayers and our praise. And he inhabits those prayers and praise, you know.
Yeah, that's good, Oscar. Another thing I was thinking too, trying to bring it down to today's terms.
Yeah.
When David would play that harp, and it would deliver Saul of the evil spirits.
Right.
We're supposed to be like David's ourselves, because David, he carried the presence of God with him wherever he went, because he was a worshiper.
Right.
He had a heart for God. Yes. And bringing it down to today's terms, we are the ones that really are the Davids in the earth. We have the anointing. We have the presence. And if we're worshipers and we're walking with God in a oneness and in a unity, really wherever we go, there should be a fragrance. Whether we're praying or witnessing to people, we should have the ability through the anointing and the presence of God to even change an atmosphere in a room just because of the presence of God that's on our life. So
right.
I'm trying to extrapolate and bring all this down to today, where we're at today. And when we were talking about David and those spirits left Saul, well, it was because of the heart, the worshipfulness of David that brought the presence into that room. And there's no darkness or evil spirits are going to be able to stay in the presence of God. So praise the Lord. That's our ministry too, to take our harps, which is our heart, and have intimacy with God and bring the presence of God wherever we go.
Hey, Lisa.
Yes.
Okay, I was never Catholic, but I think I look around, I see some that were. You were, weren't you, at one time?
I was not. Dennis was.
Dennis was. Okay, anyway, have you ever been to a Catholic mass?
Yes.
Okay.
It's confusing.
See, singing that censer of incense?
Right. Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, that's basically a type. I mean, they're mimicking what went on in the temple. I mean, they shake that thing around and there's a smell
yes.
that comes out.
Yeah.
So, okay. All righty. Anybody else? If not, we're going to move on to Revelation 5:9. Just a couple things I want to say there. I like what Kathy brought out, because that's exactly what I got out of it. Says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, nation, everything. Like I told Kathy, I said, you know, I just said, who's not included in this? Well, we all know the answer. But the thing that jumped out at me is that word redeem. And the Lord brought me to Ruth, you know, the kinsman redeemer. And the word redeem means to gain or regain possession of something. So, I mean, you hear all these people talking about, you know, born again and got saved and whatever. We've always had this in our possession, always. But it comes with a price. If something's going to get redeemed, it's going to come with a price. And it says, gain, regain possession of something in exchange for payment. Well, we all know that Jesus paid the price. He paid the price that we could never pay. But then I looked up that name, kinsman. And back to what I like what Oscar said about the lamb kin. That's what kinsman means. But it starts off, the first definition of kinsman is to redeem. Act as a kinsman redeemer, to avenge, to revenge, to ransom, to deliver. So again, I was reminded of Ruth and Boaz. My little updated 2020 vision, 2020 version of this. We all know the story. There was a matchmaker named Naomi, and she was trying to get Ruth hitched to some rich dude named Boaz. And she told her to get all dolled up and put on some Chanel number 5 and wait till he gets all liquored up and then follow him to where he takes a nap next to the bale of barley and sleep at his feet. Well, we all know the rest of that story. You know, Boaz wakes up and Ruth asks him to, it's like Julie, you know, Julie pursued me, Ruth pursued Boaz, you know. At this point.
Anyway. Julie was a stalker at the time.
Wanted the barley.
So anyway, Ruth makes her play for him. She basically says, will you take care of me? Well, in Ruth 3:12, we get the answer. And this is, again, Lisa, types and shadows. It says, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Mm-hmm. Interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. What he's saying is there's someone who is more closely related to you than I am. Boaz is saying that to Ruth. So Boaz, in Ruth chapter 4, Boaz meets up with this guy, and to cut through all the discussion, whatever, and how it was all done, it just says, and Boaz added, you realize, don't you, that when you buy the field from Naomi, you also get Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of our dead relative, along with the Redeemer responsibility to have children with her and carry on the family inheritance. I mean, boy, can you, that just drips of types and shadows, doesn't it? And then verse 6, it says, then the relative said, oh, I can't do that. I jeopardize my own family's inheritance. You go ahead and buy it, which was God's plan from the very beginning, right? You can have my rights. I can't do it. It's almost like Jacob and Ishmael, or not Jacob and Ishmael, but who was it that sold his, Esau. Esau sold his birthright. But anyway, it says Ruth and Boaz live happily ever after. And you know, part of what I got out of it is that we may be rejected by the world or relatives or family or friends, but Jesus will never reject you, nor will he leave you or forsake you. And that's why Jesus and Boaz were called kinsman redeemer. Mm-hmm. Because they loved those they were redeeming. Any thoughts on that? All right. Verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I gave that scripture up earlier, but and then going on to, and I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You think that's an infinite number? Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 20 elders fell down and worshiped him that lived forever and ever. Some good stuff, folks. Good stuff. Anybody have any comments on any of that? Every creature in heaven, earth, and sea. Remember when we talked about earth? Remember when we talked about the sea and the earth and the in heaven? Remember that?
Yes.
We talked about the sea as being those that, you know, have not had their awakening yet. They don't.
Humanity. Huh? All of humanity. All of humanity.
Yep. And then the earth being those that, you know, may have prayed the magic prayer, but they're not living in heaven at this time. They're waiting for a heaven in the sweet by and by. Those that are living in heaven, which I would say that, you know, we would hopefully fit into that category. You know, because if you read that literally, you're thinking, oh, all the fish are going to say, well, you know, maybe they will. I don't know. But I don't think that's necessarily what it's relating to. Heaven, earth, and sea pretty much is everyone is in one of those three places. Everyone that ever lived is in one of those three places. And some hopefully went from sea to earth and from earth to heaven. That's our ultimate goal in the journey. Okay, well, it's about 10:47. Unless anybody has anything to say, we can stop. Anybody have anything to say?
You know, it's so good for us to get together and remind ourselves of these things. I was thinking today, every once in a while, I get a glimpse of the reality of this, of who we really, really are. And it's not an intellectual glimpse. The intellectual part and the mind part I get. But there is emotion involved in it too. And the reality of it, it all becomes so very real to me just every once in a while. And And it's when we remind ourselves and we build each other up and we exhort each other like this and we choose to dwell in the reality of it instead of going back out into those racial things, those national things, that lower realm of mindset of man. And I just love it when I can stay in that reality of knowing that whatever happens, this is the end of it. And if we can stay in that, it's so important for us to stay joining together, whether it's by this Zoom or whatever it is, in our spirits and in the reality of the knowledge of who we really, really are, because it just builds us up and help. And it's like taking a big old match and lighting that flame in ourselves to take it out to the world when we can stay in it. I don't know why. I just wanted to say that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's good, Kathy.
Very good.
Rich, I was looking at the pillars that were in front of the temple, and I believe you pronounce his name Jakin, I guess it is, Jakin, and the other one was Boaz, the two pillars that were in front of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And Jakin's name literally means he will establish. Mm-hmm. And if you know, Boaz basically means the kinsman redeemer. Mm-hmm. So God was even talking back there when they built the temple. He's going to establish the kinsman redeemer. And you know, we've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And you know, that was one of the reasons why I believe when Jesus met the disciples, he changed their names. Mm-hmm. He renamed almost all of them, you know. Mm-hmm. And the reason that he did that was because he wanted them to understand they had a new identity. Amen. They were about to be born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And they were his kinsmen. You know, they were bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh at that point. You know, when we were born again, you know, we were born into the very family circle of God. We've been adopted into that very family circle. And we received the name, which is the authority, the character, and all the other things that go along with that name. But we walk below that a lot of times because we don't tend to believe it. And we tend to push everything off to going someplace, mm-hmm. you know, instead of being something, you know. And the going someplace is everybody's wanting to go to heaven until they get sick and then they get the corona. And then all of a sudden they want to get to the hospital as quick as possible. We need to come to the reality that he wants us to be rather than go. Mm-hmm. And as we become what we really are and really realize who and what he is in us, mm-hmm. that Christ in you, that hope of glory, then we'll move into that greater reality of God, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a gradual thing, and we're getting there. You know, we're starting to understand it. You know, we'll understand it more and more as he, line upon line, precept upon precept, and he opens it up to us. And, you know, that's an exciting thing when you think about it. I mean, it really is. And even in the Old Testament, with that, you know, Boaz was was the name of one of the pillars, you know. And that, I guess you pronounce Jakin, was the other. And that one, that name literally meant he will establish. And he was going to establish the kinsman redeemer. And he will establish was on the right-hand side because he does the work. We don't do it. He established us. We've been born again of that incorruptible seed, not by anything that we've done other than just accepted what he did, you know. But, you know, it's really neat even how all of the things in the Old Testament point to what God is doing and has done if we really see him, you know.
This is important, Oscar, to realize that that when we get born again, that's just the beginning of the journey.
Right.
I think I think a lot of church members, at least I know where I used to be, if you get born again, you basically feel like the journey's over at that stage of the game, and now you're just going to be a good person, and you're waiting to die to go to heaven, and you don't realize that when you were born again, you were just taken up into a celestial realm where you're seated at the right hand. But again, it is a journey. We are being born again, not just born again, but we are being born again.
Right.
At least in my mind, it's like every day that goes by, I'm being born over and over, like Kathy was saying, every once in a while she gets a glimpse of reality. Right. Well, to me, that's all kind of a flash of being born into this incorruptible seed, you know, being born more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. But Jesus wants us to bring heaven to earth. Whatever amount of heaven we have in us, you know, he wants us to bring that to the earth realm because we are in heaven.
Right.
We really are in heaven right now. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God, by his grace in this hour, is starting to bring more of a reality to his people right now. And he prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Rich, you were talking before about the seas and the earth and the celestial realm, and the earth are those people that have been born again, but they still stay earthy. They never really go on like the prophet Daniel said, and those who go on to know their God do great exploits. Yeah. And I think most of the church's condition right now, of course, God's in control, but most of the church's condition is, even though they're born again, they still remain in this carnal earthly realm, waiting to die to go to a place called heaven. And I think it's really important that we start making, you know, distinguishing remarks like that, just because you're born again doesn't mean you've arrived. You know, like Oscar was saying, it is a journey. It's taking on his nature line upon line, like Brother O was saying. It's interesting, really, what God is doing in the church as we sit and just listen to each of us share. Like Kathy was saying, you can hear the nature of the Lord coming forth a little bit stronger as every year and that goes by. Mm-hmm. So praise God. Praise the Lord. It's all grace.
I'm gonna put a sermon on later on today. That last sermon that I shared on Facebook, I was asked to expound a little bit on the third day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about the number three a little bit in my sermon and get into the third day a little bit. There's no way you could cover that in one sermon. You know, it's just so vast. But I'm going to talk about that a little bit. And some of the things that even though we've said here today, they'll fit right into some of the things that the Lord showed me to share. Mm-hmm. So if you get a chance, tune into that. You know,
when is that, Oscar?
On Facebook.
Oh, okay.
I will be sharing a message on the number three. It will be, but it'll talk about a little bit about the third day. Like I say, I'm not going to get into it real heavy because it's a little more vast than you can just share in one little teeny message. But I'm going to talk about the significance of the number three a little bit. You know, and I was asked to do that by someone who listened to the message. So, if you get a chance, listen into it, you know, it won't be anything most of you don't already know, you know, but, anyway.
Oscar, are you going to be able to attach it through the email also?
Please.
Are you going to be able to attach it through the email the last time? Cause we don't have Facebook.
I don't know. I don't really know exactly how to do that.
Going
to
be on YouTube, Oscar?
Huh?
Are you going to put it on YouTube?
I don't know how to do that.
I sort of know how to do that, but I'm not positive. I could put it. I'll try to put it on YouTube.
Hey, Lisa, if it goes on YouTube, you can give Julie a call and we'll walk you through it.
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe sometimes people can actually do that through email somehow, and they can attach their little YouTube. I thought maybe it was through Facebook. Maybe it is YouTube. So
sometimes on email, you can't
look for it.
I could definitely attach it and send you an email, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome. Like y'all were saying, as far as getting saved and whatever, and it's like, that's pretty much it until you, even some of the old hymns would just talk about the sweet by and by and Beulah Land and all this stuff. And I'm reminded of Brother Hiles. There's this lady at church that all she talked about was, someday I'm going to be walking on streets of gold and someday. And she got a little sick and she went to the hospital, and you know how Lynn is. He went to the room and he said, sister, he said, are you still excited about that someday when the sweet by and by, when you're in Beulah Land walking on those streets? Oh, yes, Brother Hiles. Yes, yes, yes. I just can't wait. She said, but can you pray for me? And he said, Father, take her now. No, don't pray that prayer. I don't know. And
good for him.
Said that all these people that can't wait to get to heaven, he said, let them get sick and they'll spend every dime they have to try to get well again. So we're just blessed to have that veil opened up a little wider maybe than what some of the denominations can see. And I'm just thankful for that. I'm thankful for you guys, and just thankful for my brothers and sisters. And it's encouraging to have you all show up today. And I know that they say that as your journey, we talked about the journey, as your journey keeps going up and up and up, there's fewer and fewer people that you're going to see.
Mm-hmm. Can I say one thing about Beulah? You know, that word Beulah in the Old Testament, if you look up the meaning of that word, it means Mary.
Means what?
Married.
Okay.
Married. So when you get to Beulah Land, you're going to get to, so to speak, it's not a land, it's the married place, a place of marrying.
Relationship. Married.
Yes. Yeah. Intimacy.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah. Oscar, you were talking about the number three.
Yeah.
A poem Lord gave me a while back here. It says, a sign to the nations we must become in order to demonstrate that we are one.
Yeah.
One with the Father and one in the Son, one through the Holy Spirit to prove the sum. For you must see without you and without me, there can be no complete sum of the total of three. For indeed, this appears difficult to see, but it's just part of the great mystery. The mystery of the Godhead and the family to be will soon be made manifest through the Father above to show the whole creation of his redeeming great love. So continue to focus on the Father and me, and you will understand just how this can be.
Great. That's good.
Good.
That's good.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Brother Oscar, you want to end in prayer?
Sure. Father, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And I thank you, Lord, that as we come to see your word more clearly, that we're being transformed into that very image, Father. Yeah. Thank you for the people who joined this class this morning. And thank you most of all, Lord, that you so loved us, that you poured out, you became that kinsman redeemer for all of us, that we might become your kinsmen. I thank you, and I ask you to just bless your people, keep them all safe, and we'll be most careful to give you all praise and glory. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.